Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Hey, we're dropping an interview into the feed today, but before it starts, I wanted to give you all a quick update about Syncast. Chris and I are going to be returning with new content in this podcast feed very soon. Nothing needed to be done on your part, just hang out, watch the feed for the official restart of the show. We want to thank you for your patience with us while we took a break. We've been reading your messages on Reddit, Discord, and at our Sin Club pages on Patreon. Your words mean a lot to us, and we're really excited to get back on the mic and create content you love. All right, now on to the interview.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Sincast. This is Chris Atkinson from CinemaSins, joined by Jonathan Watkins.
Hello, hello.
And today we have a very special guest. It's director Luis Prieto, who has made a movie called Shattered, coming out in theaters and on demand January 14th. It's on Blu-ray and DVD February 22nd. Luis, welcome.
Thank you. Hi there. How are you guys doing?
Hey, doing great, man. And I can't wait to talk about this movie with you. How did you get involved with this project?
Well, I read the script a few years ago, and I fell in love with it. It was a page turner. Once I started reading, I couldn't stop. I was visualizing the movie as I was reading, and I told the producers, I really want to make this film. Mm-hmm. So like everything in Hollywood, that was 5 years ago. Then for many years, nothing happens.
Wow.
And then one day you get a phone call from the producers saying, you know what? We just got the green light for this. You want to do it? And I said, yes, I want to do it. So that's sort of how everything fell into place.
Nice. You shot this in Montana, right?
That's correct.
Why Montana? What was the deal with that?
Well, the protagonist lives in a... Well, first of all, Montana is a great place to film. That was obviously in the map, you know, and it's one of those states where not that many movies get shot, and we wanted to sort of like run away from doing the obvious things for this movie that it would be shooted maybe in Los Angeles. So we started looking for places, and Montana felt like a great place. It's beautiful. The landscapes are amazing. And it does work out very well for the story that we were going to tell. So it felt like, okay, that's what we're going to do. We're going to look for a beautiful town in Montana where we're going to base our protagonist and where he lives. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of how everything fell into place.
Yeah, it's totally believable in Montana that you wouldn't have a neighbor anywhere near you.
That's right.
Did you find an actual house to film in, or is a lot of that studio stuff inside?
No, yeah, that's a real house. We look and we look and we look, and believe me, it wasn't easy because the house needed to have some characteristic. Like, it was important the fact that it was in a hill. It was important that the house was big enough so we could film a big chunk of the film. It needed to have, you know, certain styles. So, you know, it was hard because you would think that there are a lot of houses in Montana and there are a lot of houses in Montana. But then when you're going to film, you realize that there are just very few that will fit what the script requires. So, yeah, it took us a little bit of time to find it. But once we found it, we fell in love with it. And then we did a little bit of inside construction to adapt the house to the our needs, you know, according to what we needed to film.
Yeah. It's you mentioned that it had to be up on a hill, and that's an interesting thing because that's something that Frank Grillo sort of alludes to later on in the movie. He's saying that, you know, people like the character Cameron Monaghan plays are looking down on everybody and they are looking up at him. I was wondering about some of the themes that are in this. You have some themes of class and you have some themes of privacy in this. What were they, could you discuss some of those?
Yeah, well, you know, I will start saying, you know, this movie plays in many levels, and I think that's what it was interesting for me when I read the script for the first time. At first, you know, this is just a thriller. It's just a really good thriller, and it's like, okay, I'm into it. But then as you dive into the movie, you realize that, as you're saying, we talk about more than just, you know, what a thriller might be, or rather the elements of this thriller in particular were one, privacy, and the other one being, I don't know, I mean, obviously you could talk about class, you could talk about money, but I think even more than that, something that we can relate a lot lately is about not enjoying the life that you have, you know, being a privileged person and not enjoying it. And I want to say this because there are always someone who has more than you, and there is always someone who has less than you. So when Frank Grillo is talking to the character of Cameron and he's saying, you know, you're looking down at those guys down the hill because basically they, you know, they don't have what you have and they're looking up at you and they want to have what you have. I want to say we can all put ourselves in the place of Chris, the role playing by Cameron, because he's always like that. You know, they will be always looking at you and you will be always looking up someone else. So
yeah.
More than that, I think that the next line that Frank Grillo tells Cameron, like, why me, why me? Well, because you weren't using your life. I think that's something that we can all relate today, because a few years ago, we had a beautiful life. Maybe some of us didn't really enjoy it 100%. You know, we didn't, you know, we didn't play hard. And now that we cannot play hard because, you know, we are in a pandemic, we're sort of realizing that we were rich and we just didn't enjoy how rich we were, you know. And so anyway, so I think that's also, for example, something else that you can read into the movie, one of those extra layers, if you want, or not the extra layers. It's just that the movie has so many layers that you can read as many as you want, you know?
Right. Right. I thought that was really cool. And I was sitting there thinking, you know, it's possible that a character that like Cameron Monaghan plays, you know, he isn't even considering the people that he's supposedly looking down on, probably doesn't even think about them too often. You know, I mean, it's an interesting line that Frank Grillo gets to say in there. And I did wonder how you were able to round up this cast.
Well, you know, like always, you try, you make those phone calls. And sometimes you're lucky. And I think here we were very lucky. We were able to get John Malkovich, Frank Grillo, in addition to Cameron Monaghan. We were able to get Lily Krug, that is an incredible actress that basically this is her first protagonist role. And she's just amazing. And we also had Shasha Juice. So basically, we were just extremely lucky, you know, in the sense that you have a great piece of material, you know, you share it with the actors and they just love it. And they say, you know, we want to be in that movie. And that's sort of what happened with all of them.
Yeah. What is it like working with all of these people? What else did they bring to the movie that, you know, some that you may have been expecting, some that you may not have been expecting?
Well, it was amazing with all of them, and they're all very different. But yet each of them blew my mind with their interpretations. And I also have to say with their personalities, you know, I will start with John Malkovich, you know, well, what can I say of of John Malkovich.
Right.
He's had a pretty good career. You know, he's done all right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, yes, award nominee, John Malkovich. Well, he was just amazing. Incredible human being, very supportive of everyone, the rest of the cast, myself, the crew, really helping out wherever he could help beyond his role in the movie. Mm-hmm. And as in his role of as Chris Landlord, Sky's landlord, he was just amazing in the sense that every take will be slightly different than the previous one. Hmm. And also better. But then you couldn't say which one was the best because they were all equally great. So it was just amazing seeing him create, you know, and discover a new thing in each new take. And that was amazing. And the chemistry that he had with the rest of the actors, well, it was just, you know, it's something that it blows your mind. You know, you're filming and you're just watching John Malkovich in action and you realize how lucky I am. This is like, I'm in the theater, the albums, you know, and like I could touch him, and it's just amazing to see him grow.
Yeah, he's so fun in this. I mean, he's like an old perv, but he plays that role perfectly in this. You know, it's always fun seeing Malkovich in roles like this. So how about the rest of you guys? Because I think a lot of people may know Cameron Monaghan from Shameless. I personally did not recognize him right off the bat. And I was like, wow. When I saw that he was, you know, the little brother in Shameless, I was like, oh, I forgot. He's completely different. Talk about your two leads and talk about Frank Grillo as well. Like what else did they bring?
Well, you know, starting with Cameron, as you mentioned, Cameron was amazing. Again, you know, he has a very difficult role. In the sense that he spends quite a big portion of the movie sort of strapped to a wheelchair. But yet he managed, even if he has those limitations, you know, that he cannot move, he cannot walk, you know, he's stuck where he's sitting down, basically. He's able to create something very unique and grow as the movie grows, as the tension grows. What can I say? I mean, he blew my mind also, you know, because you imagine things, but when you start filming, you realize like, oh my God, this guy is like, beyond, this guy is above everything I could have expected. So really, really, really good. Very methodical. You know, he's playing to me, you know, his experience in Shameless, and obviously that was a huge school for him, you know, so many years. So he's very, you know, he's very prepared and you can tell, and he's very methodic and just like amazing. So it was really like just again discovering in every take something new about his character. So that was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Talking about the female protagonist, Lily Krug. Well, Lily, this was his big first role, I would say. This is her first protagonist role. And I knew she was good. We knew she was good. We didn't know it was so good. She is amazing. In fact, I would say that, you know, people will discover her in this film and they will say like, wow, who is this woman?
Yeah.
Just amazing. The amount of work that she put preparing her role, the world that she, you know, how well she knew not only her role, but the whole movie, the smart questions she will make about her characters, about the scenes. And then you will see her perform. And you realize, like, wow, I mean, this girl is as sweet as in real life, really smart. But then when she needed to flip and became the opposite, you realize, like, wow, I didn't expect that from Lily.
She looked like she used a drill before on somebody's leg. Like, that looked like that had happened.
Yeah, and that actually enjoyed, you know, what is pretty amazing.
It looks like she takes a lot of glee in being sick in this movie. There's no doubt about it.
And that's got to be tough to flip a switch like that for a character. But man, when she does flip that switch, I mean, she's 100% on board. You can tell, and it's very effective. You know, you get these kind of remind you of like De Mornay and Hand That Rocks the Cradle, or you know, something along those lines.
Yeah, it's amazing. The performance that she gives of Sky is just amazing. And as you said, you know, like seeing her so sweet and then 2 seconds later, she is the opposite of sweetness.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, it's terrifying.
There's like moments where I swear, like even Frank Grillo is kind of wincing. And I'm like, how, you know, if you get Frank Grillo to wince, I mean, that's pretty impressive. How cool is Frank? Like, I just picture him off screen, like, you know, biting beer caps off with his teeth. And
Well, Frank is the coolest. What can I say? You know, Frank Grillo is Frank.
He is. Mm-hmm.
Again, he is amazing. He is just amazing. He's someone who comes to the set very well prepared. He knows very well his part. He knows his part better than you. And I'm speaking about myself, the director. That's how well he knows everything about what he's playing. And again, it's very interesting the way how he performs, because he will deliver scenes that they were written, but you couldn't imagine that that was the way that you would play that line, for example. You know, so you know, there are times in the movie, and I think the spectator will feel it, and I can say I felt the same thing, where he really blows your mind, and you're like, "Wow, I didn't expect that." So yeah, I mean, Frank is extremely cool and really fun guy to work with.
Here's something I hadn't seen in a while, and maybe I'm just living a sheltered life, and I don't know, but there's a dying art form in movies: sex scenes. You don't see sex scenes anymore in movies. Why in this one is it important? Was it important for you to have a couple of sex scenes? And why do you think they're kind of, are they dying out? Am I alone on this? That they are.
You know, I don't know. What can I say? I mean, I'll put a disclaimer. I'm from Europe. I'm from Spain. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm in Italy. I was walking in Florence 2 days ago, seeing the Davide Donatello. You know, Italian art. Everyone is naked. So I have to say, first disclaimer: I think Europeans were not afraid about nudity. I will say,
right,
it was something in the States people feel a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Having said that, you know, the script required those moments. You know, there is. We're talking about this film starts with a very intense romantic, 100%, let's say 360 relationship, and that includes also sex,
right,
between these two young characters. And it was important to show how these two people, they connect, and how strong is the bonding. And one of those bondings is also through their sex life. So, you know, that's what people do. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. You know, they have sex. And in this case, I think in the movie, you know, I think it's beautifully shot, but it's also shot without being afraid of being naked, you know, in a scene where the actors are supposed to be having sex. So it's played with naturally, I don't know, it's played naturally, you know, it's played as something natural in life. So personally, I have to say, as a director, every time I read a scene that has a sex scene, I have to make sure, I always want to make sure that it is important in the script, that it's not gratuitous, that it makes sense, that it's important, that if you take it out, the film doesn't work. I mean, that's the level of how important it is. But yet, once we all decide, yes, this is important for the film, we need to keep it, what is important for me too is that we do it well, and we don't pretend that people are having sex dressed up. You know, like, okay, you know, that, you know, that doesn't work.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
Well, so that's probably what also was unique. You know, sometimes you see people having sex and everyone is dressed. It's like, wow, I don't know how they did that.
Yeah. I think if this movie were made, like, you know, if this was a major studio film, it would be implied, or they'd cut away or something. Well, you get the point. And it's like, not really. You don't really get the point. You don't understand really why this is an intense relationship. You know,
you're,
it's
right,
like
it is very important to feel how these two people bond. You're like, wow, that is amazing. What a relationship. I completely get what this guy's going through in the honeymoon and then in the rough times, because you have seen how good it was, you know. And I think that's important. And again, you know, it's not like we're like just like, you know, boy, you're just watching these two guys. No, I mean, you know, as I say, you know, it's very elegantly shot, and we pull away when we have to pull away. But it's important to say, like, wow, that is great.
Yeah,
<You
know? laughs> exactly.
I think it fits with both characters, though, because I think Cameron's character Chris, I mean, he's got a lot of defenses that kind of need to be stripped down, that Skye needs to work on, and I think you see that in that. And then also, just, you know, Skye's character, you know, she's she's given 100% at whether she's, you know, seducing or torturing. So, I mean, I think it plays in that way as well. So,
and you're completely right. And if you look at it, you might notice that the first time they have sex, Cameron is the one driving. He's the one that is possessing, if you want. And as they continue, and the second time that you see them is completely the opposite. It's her who is driving. It's actually her hurting already the character of Cameron. So again, you know, it was important. It wasn't enough just one. You see how the roles have been flipped as the movie progressed, as the character of Skye also changed from being the sweet girl, you know, to becoming something bigger than that, you know. So that's there too, you know, so just to mention that. You know.
I also like, and not to, you know, I'm not going to try to spoil anything, but she seems to have a little bit more, by the end of this movie, a more of a conflict than we originally thought too. It's not just a simple, well, I'm going to try to take this guy's identity and take his money and all that. It seems like more than that by the end of it. And in her weird way, she's trying to make sense of it. I thought that was a really cool touch towards the end of this movie.
Yeah, you're completely right. It was very important to make her character three-dimensional. And who she's a young woman that is torn apart. She had a very troubled childhood. She has found herself in the wrong places many, many times. And obviously that is a force in her life going in that direction. But at the same time, within herself, there is this other part what is what probably she would have been if she would have had a normal life, you know, like a normal being a kid, like any other kid, you know.
Right.
She is torn between those two forces in her life that are conflicting. And you see that along the movie. It's not a plain psychopath, you know, sociopath. You know, it's more complex than that. And as you say, it's very important that what she's going through, you know, all those moments that she lives, she is a very powerful character. She's a very powerful woman. She's just like completely, you know, messed up because of where she has been living and with who she has been living.
Yeah. What was your hardest day on set?
Well, I think probably the hardest day on set, it was when we were shooting the scene with Cameron and Grillo when they're driving in the car, because I thought it was a great idea to have a yellow convertible in Montana for a movie.
Right. Very memorable yellow convertible, by the way.
And it's great. But then you realize, wait, what happened if it snows? And that's what was happening. It was snowing and it was freezing cold. So we thought we couldn't shoot that scene because it was snowing. You can't shoot in a convertible if it's snowing. It doesn't make sense. But we couldn't put the roof because we have shot what came before. Without the roof, right. So we were stuck. But, you know, every take will have snow in the after phases, so it just wasn't working. And eventually we got, like, literally maybe 5-10 minutes where it stopped snowing. It was freezing cold. It was cold, like, I want to say like hell, but actually it would be like the opposite of hell. And anyway, Cameron and Grillo, they just, you know, said like, okay, let's do it. But they were literally freezing their but and shaking, and it's just, I mean, amazing those two guys what they put up with, because everyone had hats and gloves, but they were just like in their, you know, cool clothes.
right. Oh my God, that had to have been pain. Hopefully you didn't have to shoot those scenes too much.
No, we were really fast, believe me. It was like, okay guys, is now or we won't be shooting tomorrow because we'll be sick, you know, we'll get a cold tonight. So
right. Jonathan, anything else?
Well, I was curious. I mean, we've talked about just about everybody in the cast, but I did notice, and I didn't recognize them when I was watching the movie, but I did watch the first few seasons of Last Comic Standing, and Dat Fan is in this movie. I was just curious about, is he just acting now? Is that just something he's doing? Or
I met Dat a few years ago in a different show, a TV show that I did in Puerto Rico. Startup that it was actually recently was in Netflix. It was number one in Netflix. It was like a very successful TV show a month ago. Actually, maybe three, four months ago. And I just remember him being a great actor and a great guy. And so anyway, when I was prepping this movie and I needed someone, I thought, you know, I wonder if Dad will be available if he wants to come up to Montana and be in the film. And there you go. He was available and he came up. So anyway, yeah, he's a, you know, he's a great comedian. He's a great guy. He's a great actor. You know, he can play also very dramatic scenes. And I was just happy to have him on board.
Yeah, no, it was nice to see him. He's one of those people, I think, that maybe winning a reality show maybe didn't help him as much as, you know, like what you would think it would. It might have even hurt him there for a second, but it seems like he's, you know, he's still getting work, so that's good to hear.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Yeah. I didn't mention either Chasen Luz, who was amazing. She's the actor who plays Cameron's ex-wife. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, another one of those lucky things in your life when you get to work with Sasha, because she's just amazing, you know, just unbelievable how she portrayed the woman that is trying to run away from her ex-husband just to find herself in a situation, in a place where she decides to put everything back into the fire and fight for her ex-husband's life and the family, what they have in common. So it was just pretty amazing also working with her.
Yeah, sister. Very cool dynamic there.
Yeah, and the girl who plays the daughter, is it Ridley Asha Bateman?
Oh my goodness. She is amazing.
She's great too.
She is amazing. It was a pleasure working with her. She was so smart. Everything, you know, and she plays very tough scenes. And, you know, I would talk to her and explain her and she completely understood everything. And she would say, okay, and do it. Just amazing. It's like amazing. Just like really like incredible future ahead also.
Yeah, I would say so. All right. Well, Jonathan, unless you have something else, I'm going to have to wrap it up.
I think we're at the time. So.
All right. We'd like to thank Luis for his time. The movie is Shattered. It comes out in theaters and on demand January 14th. It's on Blu-ray and DVD February 22nd.
Well, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
That's going to do it for this interview. It's Chris Atkinson and Jonathan Watkins. We'll see you next time.